So let's take our Bibles tonight and let's open up, if we could, to the Gospel of John chapter 20. John chapter 20 tonight. Is anybody else warm? Okay. Does anybody care if I take my jacket off? Good. See you there. We're going to turn the AC on. Phew. I thought it's because I'm running back and forth between the instruments, and I thought, oh, that's a little better. Gentlemen, if you got a jacket on, please feel free to get rid of it. Phew. Last year was an odd year with us missing so much church. And it wasn't just us. It was everywhere in this world that people were missing. Unfortunately, you know, there are a few churches that have bounced back from this. And there are a few churches even in our own community that have really bounced back from this. It is, I hope you realize, church family, what a rarity our church family is. We are very, very rare compared to what others are doing. There are many churches that were once in triple-digit attendance that are now in very low double-digit attendance. There are churches that are financially hurting because they have never rebounded back from that. There are individuals still that will not go out of their house. They are scared to death of everything that's gone on, and the fear has controlled their life, and they're petrified, and they will not leave their home except to maybe go get groceries if they must. But other than that, they're not even doing that. The churches tonight are missing out by not meeting together. I certainly recognize that there are folks that have compromised immune systems, maybe because of cancer, because of some other kind of illness, and they are being extra cautious. But you know what? They would be extra cautious even if it wasn't COVID. And they should. That is absolutely the way that it should be. But there are others that I really fear that COVID has become a convenient excuse, or it has become a catalyst to break some very, very good habits that they once had. Fear and worry become the rule of the day. They won't come to Sunday school because you sit too close. They won't come to Sunday morning service because there's too many. They won't come to Sunday night or the Wednesday night because, well, I'd have to get out again in the night. And they don't want to. You know, our church is no different than any other in that aspect. We have more people on the rolls of the church than we ever have in the pews of the church. And that's unfortunate. That is unfortunate. Sadly, if Sunday or Wednesday roll around and there's other things pulling a person to some other direction, chances are good that they're going to go those directions and that church is what's going to get neglected. I'm not talking about things like jobs or sickness or things like that. I'm talking about things that we evidently deem to be more important than being in the house of the Lord. And some folks will say, well, I just don't feel like being at church tonight. I'm just tired. It's been a long day and all this kind of stuff. Let me surprise you with something. I don't always feel like going to church either. I mean, that you may go, oh, the pastor doesn't always feel like going to church. No. There are times where I would love to stay home, keep my jammies on, or put my jammies on, have a bowl of ice cream, and watch BattleBots or Heavy Rescue 401. You say, what's that? It's on Discovery Channel or the Weather Channel. There's times I'd much rather do that. But you know what? I don't come to church because I feel like it. I come to church because that's what the Christian is supposed to do. We are supposed to be together in the house of the Lord. And it's not about whether or not I feel like it. It's about doing what I know I'm supposed to do. And by the way, I don't come to church for you. You say, well, you have to be here because you're paid to be here. Well, it's a lot better if you can be here with other people. But that's not why I go to church either. I don't come for you. And I hope you don't come for anybody else. You come to church for the Lord. And you know what? When you miss church, you miss something. You miss a blessing. You gave in to not feeling like it. You gave in to tiredness. And by the way, if you're sick, we want you to stay home. All right? There's a big difference between being sick and just not feeling like it, being too tired. And you know, I do find the older I'm getting, I don't want to go out when it's cold. I don't want to go out when the rain's, you know, pounding and all that kind of stuff. I just want to hunker down, close the blinds and hunker down, stay put. I'm finding out, how many of you have hit that point? Oh, yeah. So that means the only time we're going to go to church is when it's sunny and nice out, right? And then it'll probably be too hot anyway, you know. Since you all are here tonight, I share this message. I share this message with you because none of you came last Easter Sunday night. Think about that for a second. I stood here and I preached this message to an absolutely empty church. And it was the second service that we'd had up on video. And so as I was preparing, I thought, well, I liked it back then, and I'm going to like it again, because I really was aiming for this anyhow. But in John chapter 20, the message tonight is simply skipping Sunday night church. And in John chapter 20, verse 19, the Bible says, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. And then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained." As you look at the passage of Scripture tonight, Thomas is the disciple, and we'll see as we go here, Thomas is missing. He misses that Sunday night service. It is Resurrection Sunday night, and the Bible doesn't tell us why he wasn't there. Perhaps all the events of the day, he's just mentally, emotionally, spiritually, whatever, he's just tuckered out, and he didn't feel like it. Maybe he's got a grump on. We don't know why Thomas wasn't there. We just know that he wasn't. And when you're not there, you're going to miss something. So what was it that Thomas missed by not being in church? Let me give you five things that Thomas missed. First of all, he missed a miracle. He missed a miracle. He missed Jesus appearing in the midst of the disciples. You ever think about that? Did Jesus just, in this spot where Jesus is going to stand, did Jesus just materialize on that spot? Or did he kind of come through a closed door, come through a wall? Did he kind of descend through, did they see that? Or did it just kind of, poof, he's there? I mean, wouldn't that be freaky? Either way you go. That would have been absolutely, that'd take your breath away, wouldn't it? That was a miracle. And Thomas missed the miracle by not being there. Second thing is he missed seeing. Jesus shows the scars that are in his hands and his feet and his side. And he missed seeing what the other disciples saw. He missed a blessing. Twice, Jesus spoke his peace upon the people. He says, "Peace be unto you." He missed a commissioning. Jesus gave the disciples their first post-resurrection marching orders. And he missed the empowerment. In Grant Richardson's commentary, he says, "Reception of the Holy Spirit here was an endowment for ministry for the apostles. They needed special establishment in the period between the Passion and Pentecost to execute their commission. This was a temporary privilege for the next 50 days before Pentecost. The permanent receiving and indwelling of the Holy Spirit would occur on the day of Pentecost. Jesus said that the permanent arrival of the Holy Spirit would not occur until he had returned to the Father, according to John 16 and verse 7. So as you look at this, maybe you say, but this wasn't a church service. Sure sounded like a church service. In Matthew chapter 18 and verse 20, the Bible says, "Where two or three are gathered together, there am I in the midst." It sounds like the kinds of things that you would want to see in a church service. And it's the kinds of things that Thomas missed. Let's take these five things and let's apply them to ourselves. How do we miss these things? Go with me to the Psalms chapter 77. Psalm chapter 77. When we're not in church, we miss the possibility of seeing a miracle take place. In Psalm chapter 77 in verse 14. Psalm 77 in verse 14, the Bible says, "Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people." What is the greatest miracle that we could ever see take place? I think the greatest miracle that we could see is not the healing of somebody, although that would be wonderful, but it would be the salvation of somebody. It would be the healing of their soul. And you say, well, when was the last time we saw somebody saved on a Sunday? It's been a while. I admit that. But you know what? I sure wouldn't want to miss it if it happened. I would want to be there to see it. But you know what another miracle is? Answered prayer. And we have the prayer times beforehand, and we're praying throughout the service. And there have been times where, at the very moment while we were praying on a Sunday night or on a Wednesday night, or even a Sunday morning for that matter, that God was in the process of answering a prayer in ways that we could not have possibly imagined. And we find out somewhere later how God had answered that and when God had answered that. And it was at the same moment that we had been praying. I gave tonight the update in prayer time tonight. Connie Rush has been moved out of Cleveland. She is not in one of the Cleveland Clinic hospitals. She's over in Montpelier Rehab. Isn't that an absolute miracle? A woman who by all rights and all the things should not even be here, but should be in glory. And God saw fit to spare her. And there were times that we were praying and times that we sent things out even on the prayer chain where her heart wasn't functioning right, where the new organs, they were having to up the anti-rejection medications and things like that. And how God was answering those prayers as we were praying. Of course, we know God was answering before we were ever praying. But we were seeing the results happen as we prayed. It's amazing because I think it was one Wednesday night when we were together. And Bobby called beforehand and her heart was so out of rhythm. And he had asked that we would pray for that evening service, and we did. And when I talked to him, he says, you know what, it's absolutely amazing. Her heart went right back into rhythm. Now, I'm sorry, folks, I don't credit the doctor. I don't credit the medication for that. Although a doctor was being used, a medication was being used, I credit the Lord for that. I see that as a miracle. Why would you want to miss church and miss out on being a part of those kinds of miracles? Here's something else you miss seeing. You miss seeing the Lord work in the lives of your church family. You know, it's not just salvation. It's not just answered prayer that are ways that God works. But when we're not together, we miss seeing what God's doing. Not only that, but we miss the blessing. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, look with me at verse 15. In Ephesians 4 and verse 15, it says, "But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." There's some important words in that. We'll come back to that in a second. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, look at verse 11. Here the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5, 11, "Wherefore comfort yourselves together, edify one another, even as also ye do." How in the world do you do that when you're apart? All of those verses talk about something being joined together. It doesn't talk about there being unity when you're separated. It doesn't talk about build. The whole concept of edification is building up. You're adding one piece upon another. You don't build up something by having the load. If you're going to go to build something, you go to Menards, you get a truckload, let's say a truckload of bricks, and they dump the truckload of bricks in your driveway. That is not something fitly joined together. That is very much separate. It's apart. It has to be put together. That's the whole concept of what God has intended for the church to be. And when the church is apart, you have no way to possibly be joined together. The great thing, one of the blessings that came out of COVID was the fact that some of us recognized how much we really needed each other, how much we really needed fellowship, how much we really needed the church. And one of the great things that I think that I have seen personally, and I hope this doesn't offend anybody, I like to see us getting back to the shaking hands. I like to see that. Put your hand sanitizer on then. If hand sanitizer is the cure-all, then shake somebody's hand. Shake somebody else's hand. I mean, all we're then doing is swapping hand sanitizer, right? Think about it. Isn't that what you're doing? Church, we're supposed to be together. We cannot allow things to pull us apart, to separate, to divide. Go to the book of Acts, chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. In Acts chapter 13, in the first three verses, when we're missing church, we miss the possibility of being commissioned. It says, now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. You miss the possibility of being commissioned when you're away from the family of God. You say, well, can't God commission us any other place? Yes. But there is something very special when an individual surrenders to God's commission in the presence of other brothers and sisters in Christ. It gives us the opportunity to, in a sense, to lay hands on them and as a body of Christ, to send them to do the work that God has called them to do. But when we're not together, we miss that. Vision Baptist Church and Pastor Austin Gardner, that is a missions-minded church. That is where we have been getting the vast majority of our latest missionaries that have come. It was funny, I can't remember who the first missionary was that we had invited from there. And once we invited one, they all wanted to come. And it never fails in a week's time. We're going to hear from one or two missionaries that are with Vision Baptist Church that are seeking support. And that's good because, number one, Pastor Gardner is a pastor that was a missionary. He came off the mission field. Don't know why he came off the mission field, but he started this church in Alpharetta, Georgia. And it is a church that has a heart for missions. But not just missions, but training missionaries. And people are surrendering in that church to missions all the time. And God is using that church because of the school that is attached with it to prepare these individuals to go on the mission field. If anybody from our church says, well, I want to surrender to missions, but I don't know where to go to get ready for training, I would tell you where to go. I would say go down to this church. I would say go through their two-year college that they have. I would send you there in a heartbeat. You know, that's one of the things that I think any pastor desires. It's a desire that I have, is that God would send out of our midst some young men that would want to be pastors. That God would send out of our midst some men and some women that would surrender to missions. That God would lay some kind of full-time service on somebody's heart. And they would say, I want to go. I want this to be the church that is my sending church. I want this church to lay their hands on me and to corporately send me. I would love to see that happen. You know, it could. And I sure would not want to miss the service where somebody comes and does that. I know it's carnal of me, forgive me. But if somebody misses that, I don't have a lot of sympathy. And they, well, what happened? Should have been there. I'm sorry. Because we have found so many excuses to keep us from doing what is right. But we don't have the same excuses when it comes from doing anything and everything else. It is amazing how we can find excuses for not being in the house of the Lord. Again, I'm not talking about those providentially hindered. I'm not talking about the elderly folk that don't drive after dark. Of course, now we got light when we're out of here. Isn't that nice? I love it to be light when we leave. That's great. But in those months where you can't see, I wouldn't want the elderly to come out and run the potential of putting it in the ditch going home, or the weather gets bad and things like that. To me, that's being providentially hindered. Yeah, they're using good common sense. But how many folks just let anything? And the saddest part is it boils down to a lack of interest. It's really what it is. It's a lack of interest. We say that oftentimes. We'll go into the bus barn and say, can we have a lack of interest day? Can we just go home? It's a lack of interest day. I just really don't want to do this today. And, of course, everybody laughs. We've never once gotten a lack of interest day. We still have to drive a school bus. And yet, how many Christians take a lack of interest day when it comes to the Sunday school, the Sunday morning, the Sunday night, the Wednesday night, that could be in the house of the Lord? And they miss out these opportunities. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, when we miss the empowerment. Ephesians 4, verse 11, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some teachers, evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. When the early disciples were receiving that empowerment, it was to do that ministry for that particular time. The Holy Spirit was breathed upon them for a temporary capacity until Pentecost, where they would be permanently indwelt, as was prophesied. And from Pentecost on, everybody that comes to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, we are immediately and instantaneously indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. So we're not talking about that, but what we are talking about is the fact that the empowerment that comes from being together and getting instructed and trained in the things of the Word of God so that we can go out into this world and serve the Lord. That's the whole point of church, Christian. The church service is intended for the Christian. This is God's house. This is our place. The service is intended to be used so that the believers in Christ can worship together congregationally and corporately the Lord. You say, oh, but the church service, isn't it for lost people? Can't lost people be here? Absolutely. But it's ultimately Christians for us. It is to prepare us, to train us, because where is evangelism supposed to take place? Out there. We are supposed to go out into the world and spread the gospel message. That's where the evangelism takes place. This is the place where we get empowered, where we get fired up, we get charged up, we get ready to go. When Thomas missed that Sunday night church service, he missed some important things that took place. He missed these blessings that was in his life. Let's answer a second question, though, about Thomas. Why did Thomas disbelieve? Go back with me to John's Gospel, chapter 20. John's Gospel, chapter 20, verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Why did Thomas disbelieve? I didn't say he doubted. Thomas didn't doubt. Thomas didn't say, oh, come on, guys, you're pulling my leg. Quit messing with me. Thomas said, I will not believe. Do you realize that belief and unbelief are choices that we make? They're choices. And he is making a choice. It's a bullheaded, stubborn choice. I will not believe. Here's something important to think about. I know people get hurt. They get disappointed. Thomas is obviously hurt and disappointed by the death of Jesus and everything that has transpired leading to that. Thomas is disappointed in the way that things turn out. When we get hurt, when we get disappointed, a lot of times it festers inside of an individual, and then they begin to start asking questions and the whys and all this, and they say, I will not believe. And they're starting to make a stubborn choice. Before long, it's not I will not believe unless, it's an I will not believe, period. And it becomes something that is a final decision in that individual's life. I've read different individuals that have walked away from, you know, some were pastors, some were missionaries, some were just Christians in church. And they got disappointed, they got disillusioned, and they walked away from all things that had to do with the Lord. And they say things like this: they have now become enlightened to the foolishness that they were involved with all those years. And they will turn their backs on the Lord. There is an age-old argument, and I think the argument is 100% logical. But for those individuals and anybody that, I don't believe anybody here tonight is like that, but if you know somebody that's like that, suggest something like this to them. Suppose for just some fleeting moment that they're right. Suppose for a fleeting moment that all of this is just a bunch of phooey. It's just nonsense. It's ridiculousness. It's tomfoolery. It's all the things that they say it is. It's not real. Suppose they're right. What have I missed out on by believing in Christ? I've missed out on opportunities to be angry, to be hateful, to be nasty, to hold grudges. I've missed opportunities to be diseased and disappointed by sexual escapades. I've missed the opportunity to be broke from gambling. I've missed the opportunity to have my brain fried with drugs. I've missed the opportunity to have my reputation torched my body shot from overwork, trying to make more money. That's what I've missed out on. What did I really miss out on? But now what if I'm right? What do you miss out on? And that individual misses out on everything. They miss out on everything that is worth anything. You see, you and I, believers in Christ tonight, we know that what we believe, and we believe by faith the Word of God and the truth because God confirms it with His Holy Spirit inside of us, and we know that this is true, we have missed out on nothing in this world. And so when the times of discouragement and things come along and we find ourselves starting to question God and starting to doubt Him even, we need to back up very, very quickly and say, Lord, yes, I'm disappointed. Yes, I'm disillusioned. Yes, I'm hurt, Lord, but I'm not turning on You. So what changed Thomas's mind? John chapter 20, verse 26, after 8 days, again, His disciples were within, and Thomas with them, and then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith He to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger. Behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto Him, My Lord and my God. What changed his mind? He got to see what the others saw. Thomas didn't get anything any different than the others. It was just a matter of a heart attitude. Thomas is demanding, unless I see, I will not. And they saw, but they had never demanded it, but God blessed them with getting to see the opportunity. You know, I will guarantee you 100% tonight that we all have just a little bit or maybe a lot of Thomas in us sometimes. And we say, unless God does such and such, I will not believe. Aren't you glad that God kind of helps your faith along in those times? And I know that we are supposed to walk by faith and not by sight, and it is definitely more blessed to walk by faith and not by sight. But aren't you glad that there are times where God reveals something very special to you to kind of show you, to shine a little bit of a light on the way, to let you know what He is up to. So what does this mean for us? John chapter 20, verse 29. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen and thou hast believed, blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Again, Dr. Grant Richardson writes this. He said, believers in our generation hold a special blessing from Jesus because we believe without seeing His resurrected body. It is not necessary to obtain empirical evidence to believe in Jesus. Our Lord honors those who believe without seeing. Faith comes from response to the Word of God. When we render the Word of God to a lesser position than experience, we put priority in the wrong place. A growing obstinacy will come upon us. A devaluing of the Word of God will occur. God does not disallow a faith based on signs, but a more mature faith trusts what He says in His Word rather than what we see with our eyes. Tonight, as believers in Christ, we cannot let situations and circumstances make us angrily turn against the Lord, angrily turn against His Word, refusing to obey, refusing to do what we know that we are supposed to do. We cannot allow that to happen. You know, that is a possibility for every one of our lives. I know we sit here tonight and we say, well, we're here in church on a Sunday night. Yeah, but it could happen to any of us. Where we get upset about something, we get disillusioned, we get bent out of shape. I ain't going back there. It is amazing how our nasty old carnal Adamic emotions oftentimes take over. And they begin to rule. And if we allow them to, they will have the rule. Remember Romans talks about we are servants to whomever we choose to obey. So tonight, who are you, Christian, choosing to obey? And don't pat yourself on the back and say, sure, I'm glad I'm here tonight because that means I'm obeying the Lord. In all things? In everything? Or is there maybe a little bit of Thomas that's there that's saying, you know, Lord, I'm a holdout in this particular area of my life and I know it. I'm not walking by faith. You know, Christians tonight, you've heard the phrase a blind leap of faith. That is ridiculous. Christianity is not a blind leap of faith. It is not a leap into some chasm, into a black hole, and we just hope it all works out. It is a leap by faith in the Word of God. God has already told us. It is believing what God has said, even though we don't see it working out that way yet. And maybe this side of eternity we won't see it working out. By faith, I am going to do what God has told me to do. I am going to live the way God has told me to live. I am going to believe His Word, whether I see it or not. That's what I'm going to do for His honor and glory. Christian, is that the determination of your heart tonight? If you're here this evening and you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior, Jesus came to Calvary's cross for you, and He shed His blood in payment of your sin. And He loves you so much that when He rises from the grave and knows all about your sin and has felt it firsthand and knows that that is what caused the Father to turn away from Him so that He cries out, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? And yet He still loves your soul. And He still wants to save you. That is absolutely amazing love. Lost person tonight, you need to receive that gift of salvation. Would tonight be the night that you'd call on Jesus and be saved? Stand with me, please, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Our Heavenly Father, as we come to this time of invitation tonight, Lord, we don't want to miss out on anything that You might have in store that You might be getting ready to do. We don't want to miss it. Help us, Lord, to prioritize the things that are most important. The disciples are kind of in a situation like we were in when we had been driven apart by a pandemic and we have the opportunities to be back together again. And Lord, those first few services were so special, as we just clung to that fellowship. And here are these disciples, the night after Your resurrection, clinging to one another, not sure what's going to happen. But then, Lord, You showed up. And You let them know what was about to take place. And Lord, we look forward to the way that You work in our lives, the things that You do like that in our life and through our life. Tonight, Lord, as believers in Christ, we want to fully surrender to You, that we might be used to whatever capacity You would deem fit. And Father, tonight, if there is one here without Jesus as Savior, tonight, Lord, we pray that they would give their life to You, that we would have the privilege to open God's Word with them tonight and introduce them to Christ. For it's in His name we pray.